Well, I am so glad that you're here. I know we probably got some family in town. Maybe you're visiting loved ones and you've come to Mid-Cities to worship Christmas Eve. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming, hanging out with us Christmas Eve. What an honor to be a part of your family moment. And we're super excited today because we're going to do what we do every year at Christmas Eve. We take a moment and we receive the Lord's Supper together. So we're going to do that at the end of the service and here in just a few moments. And I'll kind of give you some instructions as we get close to that about how we're going to do it. And so we're so glad that you're here to participate in that moment. Today, as a family, we're going to celebrate two things, really the birth of Jesus, but also the fact that we are a family. And those are both miracles in a sense. They're miracles in that God came to earth, and that's a miracle. We're going to talk about that. It's also a miracle that people that have varying degrees of differences, people that don't know each other, people with different last names, people with different ethnicities, people that come from different geographic locations, can be a part of the same family. How does that work? That's kind of a miracle in a way. And so today I want to talk a little bit about that, those two miracles, but specifically how you don't really understand those miracles unless you understand the story. There's the larger narrative, the story of God, the story of humanity, the story of us, and where Christmas fits into all of that story. Oftentimes we miss Christmas because it's like many of the things in our lives, it's in a standalone event and we disassociate it, disconnect it from the rest of the story that we're living and the story that is God's story, the story of the world. So what I want to attempt to do, just in the few moments we have together, is I want to place Christmas and place the reality of us being a family who is about to remember Jesus together in communion. I want to put those in the timeline or the story of God, if you would allow me for these few minutes. The story begins with God creating a world for his glory and full of his glory. It's for his glory and it's full of his glory. And the pinnacle of his creation is humanity. He creates mankind in his own image, in his own likeness. He creates us to reflect him. He creates us like him. He creates us to relate with him. He creates us to worship him. And so we as humanity are created in his likeness, in his image. And this is wonderful. And he says it's very good. But something happens. Humanity goes rogue. The first man and the first woman decide to believe and trust themselves over their creator and enter the first sin. This is the result of this sin was distance between God and man. This estrangement was not caused by God, but caused by man and their decision to, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to believe what I think and feel instead of what you say. And as a result, all of humanity began to spiral. God enacts a plan of redemption as humanity spirals into selfishness and evil and sin. He chooses a man named Abraham from among the people and his family and through which he is going to redeem the world. This family of Abraham's becomes a nation and individuals within the family and the nation as a whole over and over again reject God despite his advances to them, despite him choosing them. And yet despite this rejection, God chooses that through them he's going to enter this world to enact this rescue plan, this redemptive plan. He's going to enter this world through a virgin girl named Mary and her betrothed fiance carpenter from Nazareth named Joseph. The God-man was born to redeem and make mankind, to redeem mankind to their creator, thus eliminating that distance between God and man. So he, Jesus, was born. And he explained it to Nicodemus in this way in John 3. He said, basically, had to be born so we could be, he called, born again. Now, at this point in the story, many were unaware of their need for a Savior. The truth of the matter is, lots of people who are in trouble don't know they're in trouble. Do you know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, there's people that are just oblivious to the idea that they need help, that they need a Savior. Now, the people in this moment in time, 2,000 years ago, they thought they needed a Savior, but not the kind of Savior that they really got. They thought they needed a Savior in the sense of someone to free them from Roman occupation and from the Roman government. But God didn't come as a warrior, and he didn't come as an earthly king to exhibit power. Instead, he came as a baby, fragile and vulnerable. He had come to wage war, all right, but the war wasn't against Rome. It was against evil and sin and death that touched all of humanity since that first sin. So he had to be born, not of man, but of the Holy Spirit. He came to save them from the greater threat, not what they thought was a threat, but the actual threat. He came to save them from themselves. He came to save them from their own sin. And he came at just the right time, at just the right moment in history. And for those of us that love movies and stories, we love a story that happens just at the right time when it's supposed to. Don't you love it when just at the right moment, just at the right time, what you want to happen, what needs to happen, happens? Like the moment in the Two Towers when Gandalf the White and his army show up at the Battle of Helm's Deep to assure victory to his friends that's surrounded by the enemy, right? Like the vessels of all shapes and sizes who bravely answered the call to rescue the Allied troops stranded at Dunkirk in World War II. Like all of George Bailey's buddies and family who show up to his house with money to keep him from the clutches of Mr. Potter at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. Can I get an amen from anybody? Like that moment when David stepped out to meet Goliath with a rock and a sling as a champion for his people, pointing to a bigger imputation. He would impute to them his victory over the giant Goliath and the Philistines in the same way our Savior would impute his victory to us. Jesus came that first Christmas to rescue. He came to save. He came to redeem. He came to forgive his people from their sin, just as the angel told Joseph that he would. Christmas is the point in which our story, the champion, arrives. That's what Christmas is. Victory is not yet visible, but it's assured. In the same way that we would see someone, a figure come, and we know that the battle, final battle, is not yet won, but it is assured. This is the reality. He came. He showed up in the middle of darkness just at the right time. Because our champion not only came, but he lived a life free of sin, and he died on the cross to pay a price I could not pay, bridging that distance between me and him and all who repent and believe in faith. This brings us to a point in the story where we become a part of his family. See, because the scripture tells us that those who put their faith in Jesus become his sons and daughters. This is how the writer of Galatians, Paul, writes in Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, just at the right time, not late, not early, but right at the right time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is how we are family. Another miracle. we all get to be a part of God's family as his sons and daughters, adopted into his family. This is crazy when you begin to think about it, that we were once enemies of God. We were distanced ourselves from God because of our own sin and selfishness. And yet, through faith in Jesus, now we can come close to God. Now, not only are we close to him, we get to be in his family. And we get to be his sons, his daughters, heirs with Christ, with all the rights and responsibilities that come with it. This is incredible. This is how we got into the family, adopted through faith in Jesus, our champion who fought the fight we couldn't win and who lived the life we couldn't live and who died the death we should have died. See, the story continues in you and me as we join Jesus in the family business of redemption. That's how the story continues. We join with him, offering hope and life, restoring people to their God-given purpose and destiny. That he created them for his fullness and for his glory, created them to know him and relate with him, created us to worship him, and we get to help other people discover forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, bringing hope and light and life through him. This is amazing. So today, Christmas, when we look at the story, what we get to do is we get to celebrate the part where he showed up, where God, our champion, showed up with the intent to bring victory and to bring life and to save and redeem and restore that which was lost. Have you ever had in your life somebody you knew that when you were going through something hard, you were going through something really difficult, really challenging, you looked up and there they were. They showed up. They showed up in your darkest hour. They showed up in the difficult moment. Maybe you didn't want them to be there. You told them you didn't want them to be there, but they showed up anyway. Maybe you didn't think you wanted them there, but they knew better and they showed up. And in that moment, you were glad they were there. God shows up in history right when he's supposed to. And he'll show up in your life right when he's supposed to as well. Sometimes you go, well, I've been around God my whole life. I've been exposed to God. I've seen God. I've read some of the verses. I've gone to services like this, you know. I've kind of done the thing. I get it. I know the play. But there's something different when God gives you ears to hear and eyes to see who he is in the right moment in time that he reveals himself to you. In that moment where he shows up in your moment of darkness, when he shows up in that moment right at the right time in your life, and everything after that is different because your champion did what you couldn't do. And today we celebrate that. We celebrate him showing up so that he could live and eventually die, raising from the dead 3 days later, conquering death and hell, bringing victory and forgiving sins and offering eternal life for anyone who would put their faith in him. So if this is something you've done, this is something we just reminded of and we celebrate. If you've not put your faith in him, what better time than Christmas 2024, 2023, December 24th, this day, you say, I'm ready to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Why not? I want to take a moment right now, and I want us just to have a moment of prayer. And I want to offer God thanksgiving for being our champion who showed up. But I also want to give the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus and you've never put your faith in him, that today would be that day for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we come before you and we thank you for sending Jesus at just the right time. Yes, 2,000 years ago, but also for me, 30 some odd years ago, for some others, maybe 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, when they turned their life over to you, surrendering their life, putting their faith in you. Lord, we just want to say thank you for showing up and doing what we couldn't do, being who we couldn't be. And we thank you that you impute your victory, your righteousness to us. And you adopt us into your family. Incredible. We're not worthy of it, but we thank you for the grace and the mercy we receive from you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to put my faith in Jesus, I want you just to tell him in this moment, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to be the King, the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. I don't want to call my own shots anymore. I lay that down. I want you to be the King in my life, Lord of my life. I acknowledge. Tell him now, I acknowledge you're the Son of God. That you came so that you could die and rise from the dead, conquering death and hell. I believe you rose from the dead. And you offer me forgiveness of sin, and you offer me eternal life. I receive that today. I repent of that sin. I turn from it. I don't want to live that way anymore. God, put me on a new path. I want to discover the purpose that you created me for on this earth. I want to partner with you in what you want to do in my school, in my neighborhood, in my work, with my family. God, I want to invite you to do that now. Adopt me as your son, your daughter, into this family, the family of God. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,